How old are you? I guess that's a very personal question, and in some societies it's polite not to ask that question. But the age that I'm interested in, the age that I'm asking about, is how long have you been a Christian? You may have been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50 years, but even that is not the number or the age that I'm asking about. You may well have been a Christian for 30 years, but is your spiritual age 30? Or are you still a spiritual toddler? Maybe we have never grown up in the Lord. We're still babies in Christ. The Apostle John is interested in our spiritual growth. He's interested to make sure that we are all growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, pressing on toward spiritual maturity, growing in faith, growing in trust, exploring the Word of God, becoming the spiritual adults that we ought to be, feeding on the meat of God's Word, rather than just the milk of God's Word. But how do we grow as Christians? Do we get Christian maturity all at once? Or is it that the reality of the Christian life is a steady progress of growth and development? When do you stop growing as a Christian? The answer is never. We should keep on developing. As long as we live, we should be developing in our Christian lives. There are no retired Christians. In God's kingdom, you don't get pensioned off. You're never made redundant. Now, there are many people around today who will suggest that we can get Christian maturity all at once through special spiritual experiences. All of a sudden, they say, we can leap from one plane of experience to a fully developed higher life. Now, I wouldn't want to deny that certain experiences can catapult us forward in our growth as Christians, but the normal Christian growth, the normal Christian life, as explained to us in the scriptures, is one of steady growth, bit by bit, precept upon precept, growing daily, bit by bit in the Lord. A few years ago, we were visiting with a friend who collected all kinds of things. He collected paintings, books, postcards, coins. And one of the most fascinating collections that he had was a scrapbook full of all the details of his children's development. He had photographs of them, he had tape recordings taken at various stages in their lives, he had cuttings of their hair taken at different ages, he had even kept all of their baby teeth. They had all the school reports, exercise books. And it was extremely interesting to see how he had recorded the various stages of the growth of his children. These children at that time were in their mid-20s, and it was super that they had such a record of their development throughout their childhood. When a child has had a normal development, it's great fun looking back. But if there has been an illness or an accident, or for some other reason, the development of that child has stopped, it is with a sense of sadness that we look back. Quite often we think, if it hadn't been for that incident, what could have been? We're very privileged to live in the United Kingdom. In this country, we have a very good National Health Service, and which does a tremendous job assessing and screening children at various stages to check that their development is progressing as it should. The educational system assesses the children at various stages in their lives to check, to see if the child is progressing, if the child is developing, if the child is growing. You see, our whole society is geared around the principle that in the normal child, there should be signs of development. Well, that's just the same as with a Christian. There should be the normal signs of normal Christian growth and development. In fact, the Bible teaches that it is to be expected that there should be physical, intellectual, and emotional development within the life of a healthy, growing child. 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." But in the Bible, the idea of growth and development is not just limited to the growth and development of the physical life. The major focus, in fact, is in the area of growth and development in the spiritual life. Now, the passage that we're looking at today in 1 John 2 also has this idea of growth and development in it. You can see John's way of expressing spiritual development in the three groups of people that he mentions: dear children, young men, and fathers. Now, up to this point in the letter, John has been concerned about the true Christian walk rather than just Christian talk. He has emphasized the importance of walking the walk rather than just talking the talk. Rather than just claiming something, he wants us to be something. So why then, all of a sudden, does he switch to talk about these stages of spiritual growth? Well, part of John's task is to oppose certain false Christians and teachers who had left the church. They were teaching how they had suddenly been initiated into a new kind of Christian maturity, a new kind of developed Christian knowledge. John says, no, the Christian life is not like that. But the normal Christian life is one of growth, from dear children to young men to fathers. And it is a development over a period of time. It takes time for us to build that spiritual maturity. Look at the six times that John says, either I am writing or I write. He writes to the dear children, the young men, and the fathers. He's referring to three different stages of development in the Christian life. He writes to the dear children. Who are they? They are the young Christians. These people have just become Christians. There might be some in teenage years. There might be some in their 20s. There might be some in their 70s. What they have in common is that they are babes in Christ. They have only just become Christians. So whether they have a physical age of 15 years or 75 years, because they have just come to faith in Christ, John calls them dear children. Then we have the young man, that is the Christian, the man or the woman who has been converted and has grown to learn to gain experience of walking with God. Then there are the fathers, who are the older Christians, men and women that have gained spiritual maturity. They have increased in their knowledge of God. They have past experiences of knowing God, and what they have is a ripened maturity. So the first thing that we can learn from this passage is this: that there is an expectation of growth and development in the Christian life. There is that expectation that the Christian should grow, the Christian should develop, we should move on, we should make progress, we should not remain still. We should be growing as Christians, we should be moving on. There should be signs of growth, signs of maturity, a deeper knowledge and intimacy with God. If we were to have a kind of spiritual development health check carried out on us, how would we appear? Are we like the children? Are we like the young men? Or are we like the fathers? What development has there been in our lives since we came to know Christ? Have we allowed something to hold us back, making no progress? Are we slipping back? How do we stand as Christians? If you take a good hard look at your Christian life, what signs of growth do you see? Do you have more confidence in God today? Is your faith stronger? Or have you been letting time just slip by? Maybe some kind of difficult experience in your past, something that you keep going back to, that's holding you back. You're not making the development that you feel you should. Maybe it has been some difficulty in church life, and that seems to shape the way you think about things, the way you think about people. And whatever it is, it's holding us back. We're not moving on. The writer to the Hebrews has this complaint to make about the Christians that he's writing to. He says in Hebrews 5:11, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Paul complains to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. "Brothers and sisters," he says, "I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." They haven't moved on in their thinking. They haven't developed. They haven't made progress. Oh, they had a lot to say about themselves, about the great spiritual gifts that they had, about the celebrations and the great feasts that they had, their liberty. They were living as king's kids, thinking they had it all. But Paul says, no, you're just children in Christ, mere infants. Coming back to Hebrews again in chapter 6 and 1, there is a call to the Christian to go on towards maturity. "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God." James tells us that our faith is tested that we might develop perseverance. "And perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." There's no standing still here with these writers. There's no standing still in the Christian life. The pattern of teaching that they're giving is that we should grow, we should develop. We don't forget the things that we were taught at the beginning, but we build upon what we have learned. Now, John draws attention to the three particular stages in the development of the Christian life. The first stage is the stage of little children, the joy, if you like, of first love. Now, we don't want to decry that first love experience that people had, the sense of innocence and joy, the exuberance of feeling that our sins have been forgiven, that we are now in the family of God. Do you remember those days of joy as a newborn Christian? You just enjoyed the fact that the burden of sins had gone. You were so full of the joy of the Lord that you told everybody you met that you had become a Christian. Our first conscious awareness of being a Christian is that knowledge that our sins are forgiven on the account of his name. I am writing to you, dear children, verse 12, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Verse 14, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. Central to all Christian experience is that the Christian has encountered God's forgiveness. Sin has been dealt with. The birth, the beginning of your experience is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives at conversion, he points us to the forgiveness of sins that we have on the account of the name of Jesus. It had been foretold of the Lord Jesus that he would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. We are Christians only because our sins are forgiven. But getting saved, getting born again, becoming a Christian, it's not a stopping place. It's a starting place. Some people are content to step inside the kingdom and stop there just on the inside of the door. When the little boy kept falling out of bed, he explained to his mum, "Maybe it's because I go to sleep too near where I get in." Yes, surely it is better being on the inside of the kingdom than being on the outside. But once in the kingdom, there should be growth and development. Don't stop. Don't fall asleep too near where you get in. Paul says in Colossians 2 and 6, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Continue. Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Rooted in Christ, living in Christ, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with thankfulness, growing in our gratitude for what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of our faith, we have known the Father. We enjoy the blessings of forgiveness of sins and the assurance that we are in the family of God and that God is our Father. Notice the dependency that there is. Our sins are forgiven on account of the name of Jesus, and we know God as our Father. We come to know that he is our Father, and we should constantly look to him that he might meet our needs, that he might be our sufficiency, and that we might grow up in him. The second stage in the Christian life is the stage of the young men. The first stage was that stage of little children, the joy of first love. Here, the stage of young men, young women, it's the vigor of youth. In chapter 2, verse 13, "I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father." Verse 14, "I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." The Christian at the stage, they have not reached maturity, but they are steadily climbing. They're learning to fight and to win the spiritual battles in the name and in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have learned to overcome the evil one. They battle against many temptations. They've learned to recognize that there are many inducements that they will face and enticements to sin, and that the wicked one would attempt to rob them of any progress or development, to rob them of their joy in the Lord. But they have learned to contest the schemes of the evil one and to win battles and victories in the power of the Spirit of God. God had given them an abundant supply of grace, and they had triumphed over all obstacles. And John calls them overcomers. Their trials and battles have left them strong. Their strength came through the Word of God that had lived in them. They had fed upon the Word of God, fed upon Christ. There is no one, no matter how bright, no matter how intelligent, no matter what capacity they have, there is no one able to master the Word of God in a single lifetime. You will always be learning. You'll never get to a point in your life where you'll have it all. We serve, we worship an infinite God. And we as finite beings, when we're in the presence of the infinite, there is always room for growth. There is always room for development. There were many Christians that were weak and delicate. Among the common symptoms of this kind of spiritual weakness is a lack of good food, a lack of good teaching, seen in the fact that the people have not developed an appetite for the Word of God, no desire to say what God has said in His Word, no desire to search the Word of God, to find out what God is saying about our lives. I think there were two particular groups that I ministered to over a period of time. One was a group of Christians in Germany. And I remember going across to speak at a weekend conference for them. And from 9 o'clock in the morning through to 6 o'clock in the evening, we did have some breaks for refreshments, for food. But most of the time I was teaching, and most of the time they were asking questions. Such a hunger that they had for the Word of God. It was a Tamil group, and what I was saying was being translated from English to Tamil by a friend of mine. And I came to the point where I said, this has got to be the last question, because I can't think any further. They just had exhausted me because of their hunger for the Word of God. My friend was leaving me back to the airport, and some of the young men wanted to come along in the car because they had more questions to ask. And they just wanted to know so much. They were developing. They were hungry for the Word of God. They wanted to learn. The other group was actually in a prison. I had an open invitation that any Tuesday night that I was free, that I could go along and teach the group. These particular men had committed some terrible crimes, and most of them were in prison for life. And many of them had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ when they were in the prison. And they had developed an appetite for the Word. And again, every Tuesday where I had opportunity to go to teach them, again, you could see the hunger. They wanted more. And when you would try to stop, they would ask you further questions. They were just hungering for the Word of God. If we lack the good food, then we will not develop the appetite. Our appetite for the Word of God should be developing. It should be growing stronger, that we desire these things. A lack of good fresh air, robbed of the breath of freshness that comes from times spent in prayer before the Lord. A lack of good exercise in the service of God. Those spiritual muscles have become weakened because they're not exercised, they're not used. The big secret of moral muscle and spiritual sinew is that we need to steep ourselves in the teachings of Scripture. Such strength and vitality does not come quickly. We obtain our grasp of the Bible through regular study. We get a grasp of the Bible and the Bible gets a grasp of us. We possess it and it possesses us. If you are not in the Word and the Word is not in you, you can forget about development and progress. There has to be feeding, there has to be stretching, there has to be exercising so that we can hide these things in our hearts that we might grow and become strong Christians. The third stage that John mentions is the stage of maturity. I'm writing to you, chapter 2, 13. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Verse 14, I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. What is it that forms the basis of the maturity here of the fathers? After a life of progress and development, what spiritual gift is it that John sets before us? What is the spiritual gift to desire? What example does he set before us? What goal should we desire to in order that we might have this spiritual maturity? The basis of spiritual maturity is that from the beginning, they have known Jesus Christ. If God is asking you, what gift is it that you want me to give you? It should be that understanding and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I get that? How does that develop? It develops in us as we put in the time reading and studying God's Word. A few weeks ago, we spoke of the false teachers who had left the church here that John is writing to, and they were advocating all kinds of experience. But in complete contrast to what the false teachers are saying, John says, no, it's not like that. If you want to move on in the Christian life towards maturity, then your preoccupation has got to be with Christ. They will have focused on the mind of Christ. They will have adopted Christ's attitude, and Christ's purpose will have become our purpose. They will have focused on the heart of Christ. And as Christ has a heart full of compassion and love, so they will have compassion and love. Is that what people say about us? That the thing that characterizes him or her is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we think? How do we love? How tremendously fruitful is such knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? The fathers represent the mature Christian. And of course, they won't stop there. They won't say, I've heard every passage on the Bible preached on, and I know every angle, and there's no more for me to learn. You never get to that point. The fathers never forget their sins, that their sins are forgiven. They never neglect the Word of God. They build on their knowledge and experience. They don't forsake what they learned as little children. They don't forget how they became strong in the Lord and moved on towards maturity. Don't ever come to a halt in your development. But let us always be moving on in our Christian lives. It doesn't matter what age you are. You may be in your 80s. You may be older than that. It does not matter. You are not a retired Christian. You are not redundant. There are no pensioners in the kingdom of God. Let us resolve within our hearts here and now that we are going to make progress, so that by this time next year we will not be found in the same place, but we will have moved on in the Lord. We will have grown, we will have developed, learning to trust Him more, learning to love Him more, learning to have a heart that is filled with thankfulness. Let us look to God to make that kind of growth possible, to give us the stamina and the appetite, the desire to be daily in the Word of God so that we might grow. We grow as we receive Christ through the Word, and we grow as by faith we receive Christ in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We ought not to be looking at the elementary truths and feeding only on those. We ought to move on. We ought to develop. We ought to make progress. Let us seek God's help in moving on in the Christian life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to grow, to mature, to develop, that we no longer want to stay the same, but we want to make progress and know the Lord Jesus Christ in a deeper way. Help us day by day, for Christ the Saviour's sake. Amen.